This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by the Honorable Kurt Schrader. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Oregon, member of the Energy and Commerce Committee. So good to see you.
Good to see you, Tony. Enjoyed my stint on the Ag Committee under Colin Peterson's leadership. The 2014 Farm Bill, I think it was. A lot of fun. A great committee to be on.
And so the surroundings here are not completely unfamiliar
to you. Spent a lot of time in here marking up those bills with Colin and Frank Lucas from Oklahoma. It was good times, a lot of good discussions, long markups, but a degree of bipartisanship and collegiality I think America loved to have seen. If they're really bored, they should watch that markup.
Let's talk about your congressional district. I mean, when we talk about getting along, if we ever long for getting along, if you will, all we have to do is go back home. What are you seeing in the district? How are the conditions back home?
Well, it's been tough, like across this country. The COVID issues were real stress on my ag producers, frankly, the fishing industry that I've got. Willamette Valley and Central Oregon Coast. So the fishermen took a big hit when the restaurants got shut down pretty much, and overseas opportunities were limited. Forestry hit badly, not just with COVID, but obviously the forest fires that swept through my district. We had 6 major fires in Oregon. 3 were in my district, and it was devastating to people and devastating economically. That doesn't get talked about much, but a lot of timber companies lost a lot of their inventory, and frankly, a lot of family forest owners lost their retirement, essentially. So really devastating effects that way. And then, of course, in agriculture, right through the Willamette Valley, a big food basket for my state and supplies a lot of stuff overseas as well as around the country. And it's been very, very difficult. But, you know, it's a resilient group of folks. They kept food and fiber going all through COVID. I'm very proud of the work they did. The supply chain still functioned. And, you know, I'm just really proud of American farmers and my Oregonian counterparts. They did such a great, great, great job.
You talk about how things just kept going. We did see, though, things like congressional hearings go to a Zoom format, if you will. Did that illuminate the need for bringing us real high-speed rural broadband?
Absolutely, absolutely. If there's one good thing, only maybe one good thing out of this horrible pandemic, it was it put a spotlight on the need for rural broadband. When children were forced to educate from back home, when you couldn't go see your doctor, telemedicine became a huge deal. And frankly, to run your business, you know, you had to still be able to participate. And for farmers, I mean, the opportunity now for being more thoughtful, save some money by just going to aerial drones / you know, some internet Wi-Fi opportunities out there to really bring your operation to the 21st century. It's critical. If you're going to compete overseas with that cheap labor stuff, you got to have the latest technology. And I've seen some amazing technologies in my state that allow farmers to really pinpoint exactly what they need to do where and how much of some of this expensive stuff they actually need to spend to get the product that Americans want at the end of the day. So the rural broadband is just absolutely critical. And the good news, I think, Tony, is that we've got a situation in Congress where everyone's on the same page for a change. You know, we argue a little bit from time to time, and the infrastructure package that the president's put out is somewhat controversial in some areas, but not with broadband. And I don't care if you're a senator. I don't care if you're a House member. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. Everyone is on board with including broadband as part of infrastructure package. And the good news for rural America is everyone seems to be on the same page as far as making sure it's unserved folks that get it first, and those that maybe are underserved with a very sharp definition to make sure it doesn't go to the urban areas, the suburban areas where, you know, a lot of the companies can profitably provide that broadband service. So our role here is to make sure that those who are not served actually get it. And that would be a lot of my folks out in Oregon, up the valley and coast.
You talk about China and the cheap labor. I just wonder, have you been watching and involved in some of the modernization efforts, if you will, for farm workers?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, a lot of folks forget that during this terrible COVID epidemic that our farm worker community stepped up. They were declared essential workers in our state and around the country, and they in large part deserve a ton of the credit for making sure that, again, the food came to the grocery shelves at the end of the day. And in our home state of Oregon, the farm workers, Bakun in particular, played a critical role in getting that Farm Worker Modernization Act developed and enacted. It's passed the House now twice. At the end of Congress, we finally got it together and got it out there. And then we got after it early this Congress to make sure the Senate has an opportunity to take it up. But it's a wonderful piece of legislation. Hopefully breaks the logjam on the immigration, you know, farm issue. Farmers that I talk to, desperate for a workforce that knows how to work, willing to put the effort in. Put some certainty into the H-2A program, which can be so complicated. This streamlines a lot of that for our farmers. And on the farm worker side, gives folks a chance to stay, as long as they're in the farm worker space, in the ag space, get to stay here in this country, and frankly, eventually earn legal permanent status. So it's a win-win for the farmers, the farm workers, and I think our country, because we need that farm. What the COVID showed is that you can't rely on overseas, you know, folks to supply your needs here. We have to make sure we can have good agricultural enterprises that are vibrant, supporting workers, supporting the farmers, the small businessmen and women that live on these family farms to provide us the food and fiber we really need. And that's a huge success story, I think. So we got to get it through the Senate. That's the next step. It had bipartisan support on the House side. So folks back home think it's all partisan. Not hardly. Broadband, Farm Worker Modernization Act, very bipartisan. And I think, again, it might be the piece that could break that logjam on immigration that has been bedeviling us for the past 30 years.
Final one here for you. Tell us about the CBD bill.
CBD, yeah, it's a big deal back home. As you know, in the 2018 Farm Bill, they legalized hemp production. My home state had a storied history back in the day of doing hemp production. Also something that's done out east here, Kentucky in particular, and several other states. It was a common crop. And the good news is that the cannabidiols that now can be derived from non-THC, if you will, hemp production, have a great opportunity to alleviate a lot of problems that Americans face. It's a great alternative to opioids and pain relief, quite frankly. And with the epidemic in opioids that we have right now in our country, I think this is a great opportunity. I've heard a lot of anecdotal stories from friends and farmer friends of mine that, you know, for a variety of ailments and injuries, it just can help you get by without any of the side effects or addictive nature that we see in a lot of the common pharmaceuticals that are out there. The problem we have is it's kind of the Wild West, if you will, in terms of development. There's no guidelines virtually, no labeling requirements. The consumer's a little bit at risk, quite frankly. You hope that, you know, what they say in that product is actually there, that that concentration is sufficient to do what they say it's going to do. And for farmers, they're a little nervous. You know, what are the federal government, have you really sanctioned this? You know, what's the rules of engagement? Am I going to get in trouble if I develop this product? So I've heard a lot from my folks in the Willamette Valley that, hey, you know, we've got these CBD operations. We're trying to do it right. We want to make sure there's some certainty in the marketplace so that we can, you know, stand up our operation, feel comfortable that, you know, we have a safe harbor for how we're running it. And then for the consumer, you want to make sure, as I said, you're getting what you know, you think you're paying for. And so it's a win-win bill. It's a bipartisan bill here. Morgan Griffith is working with me on it out here. I know Senator Wyden has got a bill that he's working on in the same vein. So hopefully we'll be able to get another bipartisan piece of legislation that benefits rural America. Rural America too often gets left behind, And it's a huge chunk of my district and big part of this country that some folks, to be honest with you, my party sometimes forget. So we're trying to make sure that folks realize, no, hey, you know, we're really pushing hard for a lot of bipartisan bills that actually help rural America, not just the Portlandias of the world that can do their own thing, that have resources, tax bases well beyond what we have in rural America. But if we can help rural Oregonians help themselves, that's the name of the game. That's what we're here for.
So good to see you. We wish you the best for the rest of this session.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate the opportunity.
The Honorable Kurt Schrader, representing the 5th Congressional District of Oregon, on today's Agribusiness Report.